suffering, pain, sickness and disease, death. How many of you this morning try to live a healthy life? How many of you try to get exercise and eat healthy food and try to prolong the lives that we have on this earth, at least prolong the quality of life that we have on this earth? I think most of us probably have that desire, don't we? Now, how well we do in actually living a healthy life, that's another question. But we realize no matter how hard we try to live a healthy life, no matter how much exercise we get, no matter how much nutritious food we eat, there is no escaping the reality of sickness and suffering and pain and ultimately death. We realize not all is well in this world. There is so much that is terribly wrong. And yes, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a confidence and we have a hope. One day God is going to make everything right. What a day that will be. One day He will make everything right. One day in the future, there will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain, no more sickness or disease or death. But the fact remains today that that day has not yet arrived. Life in this world is still very broken. And all of us here this morning have experienced pain. All of us have stubbed our toe, and that hurts, doesn't it? But how much worse does it hurt to break a bone or to have even the pain of perhaps arthritis or something like that? We've experienced pain. We've been sick with any number of ailments. You know, there are the common sicknesses like colds or the flu. There are the more serious sicknesses like pneumonia. Perhaps there are a few or maybe more than a few here this morning that have fought battles against serious diseases. We all know family and friends who have fought fights against disease and sickness. And none of us here are fond of getting sick. But usually when we get sick, we have hope that things will get better. We'll, yes, be weak and discomfortable for a while, but eventually we'll get better. Now, to struggle with disease is more serious. And none of us wants to hear the word when we go to the doctor. None of us want to hear that word cancer. No one wants to hear that word. No one, whenever they go to the doctor, want to hear the words, well, you have Alzheimer's. None of us want to hear that news. Yes, we're thankful for modern medicine today. And there are many cures for diseases. There are treatments to fight cancer many times. There is helpful research underway to combat Alzheimer's. But yet we know that no matter how wonderful modern medicine is, it does not have a cure for every physical ailment that we might get. And honestly, there will never be a cure, humanly speaking, for every disease on this earth. Modern medicine is not the ultimate solution for sickness and disease. It will never eliminate all suffering and pain. Never will doctors find the so-called mystery of the fountain of youth. There is no human cure for human mortality. There's no way man can fix the problem of death. There's only one source of hope in the face of pain and suffering and sickness and disease and death. Where is that hope found? It is found in God, isn't it? It is found in His Son, Jesus Christ. God is the only one that has the power to successfully combat and overcome all disease and all pain and all suffering and death itself. We look forward to that day when the words of the Apostle John come into being, when they are fulfilled in reality. We read this in Revelation 21 and verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." And what a day that will be. We look forward to that day, don't we? We have great comfort as believers that as ones who know Jesus, everything will be made right one day. We have hope. The Apostle Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians 4. We read in verses 16 through 18, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Today, I hope that you can say, I have hope because of Jesus Christ. Even though we live in a broken world, a world filled with suffering and pain and disease and death, we have hope because of God our Father. We have hope because of His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's only because of Jesus that the curse of sin, that all of the terrible consequences of sin will be done away with. There's ultimate victory through Jesus, victory over sin and death. Yes, we wait for that future day. But even in human history, as we think about times past and even right now, God sometimes demonstrates His great power over pain and suffering and sickness, even death. God shows His great power, and we read through the pages of the Scriptures, and we stand in awe. We're amazed whenever we read about stories where God has displayed His power, and the blind have been restored their sight. The lame have been able to get up and walk and leap. The deaf have been able to hear. The dead have been brought back to life, and we stand amazed whenever we read about God's power in the pages of the Scripture. We read about Elijah and Elisha and many others that were used of God to do great miracles. But whenever Jesus Christ came to this earth, the way that God showed His power, the miracles that were performed, really reached a high point. God chose to display His power and His authority over disease and death. Yes, whenever Jesus came to this earth, He devoted Himself to proclaiming a message. That message was the coming kingdom of God. He exhorted people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Ready yourself for this coming kingdom. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom. And whenever the kingdom would be established on the earth, things would be far different. No longer would there be the constant struggle against suffering and pain and death and sickness and disease. And as Jesus, time and time again, healed the sick and raised the dead, He was giving a foretaste of the glories that would be during the kingdom of God on this earth. Now we think about all of the amazing miracles that Jesus did. All of those miracles showed Jesus' great authority and Jesus' great power. But there are certain miracles that I'm sure really aroused the interest and aroused the awe and astonishment of the people as they saw these things happen, or they saw the consequences. And one of the miracles that Jesus did that surely would have made the people stand in awe would have been when He cleansed lepers of their terrible skin disease. Now, of all the diseases of the ancient world, the disease of leprosy was one of the most dreadful. Leprosy, as I'm sure you already realize, is a disease that affected the skin, and even more than that eventually. And it could take several different forms, but the worst form surely was that form that involved the rotting of the flesh. Today we call it Hansen's disease. Leprosy was a fearful disease. We read about how terrible it was whenever Aaron spoke to Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. We have Miriam, who was rebellious and was disobeying the Lord, and because of her rebellion and her sin, she was struck with leprosy of the Lord. And we read in Numbers chapter 12, verses 10 through 12, the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. But notice what he says in verse 12, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Leprosy was a terrible, dreadful disease. And to have leprosy meant not only that you would have suffering and pain and great harm that was afflicted upon your body, but it also, for the Jew, it meant seclusion from society. It meant that you were ceremonially unclean. And there was no human cure at that time. So to have leprosy meant that you forever would be tortured in body and you would be secluded from society. We could go to Leviticus chapter 13. We read in verses 45 and 46, the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him. He shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. To have leprosy in that day would be a terrible thing, because you are suffering in your body, and you are secluded from your family and your friends, from all of society. You didn't have a normal life by any means. And to realize the rest of your life is going to be lived like this, how depressing, how discouraging that would have been. In many ways, lepers were considered the living dead. It was a hopeless life, humanly speaking. The doctors of ancient times had no cure, and cleansing seemed to be an impossibility. But yet for those lepers that lived during the time of Jesus, there was a glimmer of hope, because the word had spread throughout the region of Israel that there was this man, Jesus, and he healed the sick, he raised the dead. Perhaps Jesus could cleanse me of my leprosy. Surely that's what the lepers thought. I invite you this morning to turn with me to Mark chapter 1 and verses 40 through 45. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1152. And as we read this passage in Mark chapter 1, we are confronted with an incredible encounter between a leper and Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1. In verses 40 through 45, follow along as I read. And there came a leper to him, to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Here is this leper. And what man in Jesus' time was in a more hopeless situation than this leper that came to Jesus? Who would have been more discouraged or alone, cut off from normal society? As I mentioned before, to be a leper was really one step removed from being dead. But even the most discouraged leper, even the most hopeless leper, had reason to hope whenever Jesus was on this earth. Yes, words quickly spread. Yes, Jesus was one who taught with authority. He did great signs. He did wonderful miracles. And what leper wouldn't be motivated to make the trip to go and see Jesus, to beg for him, to cleanse him of his terrible disease? This is the case with the leper in Mark chapter 1. We read there in verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, we know very little about this leper. Mark doesn't tell us how this man contracted this disease. He doesn't say how long he's been afflicted with leprosy. We don't even know the name of this leper. Mark simply tells us that a leper came to Jesus. One wonders, did this leper cry out as he came to Jesus, unclean, unclean? We don't know. Mark does not tell us. But what this leper does say, the actions that the leper performs as he interacts with Jesus, this tells us quite a lot about this man with leprosy. And we have much to learn from this leper. First of all, we can learn from the leper from the simple fact that the leper took action to come to Jesus. Here's a man in a hopeless situation. He's an outcast of society. He has no reason to think that in his lot in life, that somehow things would get better, except for through Jesus. Yes, this man has a great need. He has a need that no one on this earth is humanly capable of solving. But this man heard about Jesus, and he was convinced in his mind and in his heart that Jesus is the one who is able to help him. The leper admitted, he knew beyond any doubt, everybody knew, the leper had a need. And so he goes to Jesus, he takes action, he goes to the one who could help him with his need. Yes, he went even though others, as they saw him, would have shrunk back in horror perhaps. Perhaps they would have reviled him. No one wants to be around a leper. But the leper took action. He went to Jesus. He knew that he had a need and Jesus could help. How about us today? We're not lepers today. Who knows what needs we have, though? God knows exactly what needs we have. And whenever we have a need, who should we go to for help? We should go to God. We should go to Jesus. Yes, we're thankful for doctors that can help us, but ultimately, who is the source of our hope? It is God himself. It is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So when we have a need, who do we go to for help? Do we try to solve it ourselves? Do we try to have somebody else solve it for us? Yes, we don't want to just try to, you know, just let everything go, right? We want to try to solve things on our own, but ultimately, God is the one who is our help, who is our source of hope. God is the one, and Jesus Christ is the one that is able to help us in our most dire needs. How else can we learn from this leper? We can learn from the leper a lesson in humility. The leper came to Jesus. He humbly fell down before him. Notice how he begged Jesus, how he fell on his knees, and he didn't demand Jesus to act. He simply presented his case before the Lord. He left the decision up to Jesus. As we read there in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The leper was humble. He didn't demand of Jesus to act. He just laid out his situation. This is my need. I believe you can help me with my need. If you are willing, you are able to cleanse me. Notice too the faith of the leper. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There's no doubt in this leper's mind that Jesus was able to solve his problem. He was able to cleanse him. He didn't know whether Jesus was willing, but he knew he was able. Now, of all the times in Scripture that we read about people having leprosy and about them being cleansed, it was always a supernatural intervention of God. Whenever a leper was cleansed, it was God doing a miraculous work. So here's the leper. He believed Jesus was able to do something humanly impossible. What faith the leper had. Now, the leper, no doubt, was desperately hoping, Jesus is going to heal me. But he didn't presume that Jesus would heal him. He didn't demand action from him. He left the matter in Jesus' hands. Jesus, you know what is best. You know my need. You know it even better than me. I'm going to leave it in your hands. How often do we mirror the same faith and dependence on Jesus? Yes, we have needs, don't we? Do we demand of God to take action, or do we just lay out our problems before him and say, God, you know it is best. Yes, please help me, but you do what is best. You do your will, not my will. So how does Jesus respond to the leper's actions and the words that he spoke? Well, we continue reading in verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Yes, others, perhaps everybody else, would have cringed at the sight of the leper. They would have stood back away from him. They didn't want to catch his leprosy. But Jesus reacted in quite the opposite way. Jesus wasn't afraid of contracting leprosy. He wasn't concerned if he would become ceremonially unclean if he touched him. No, Jesus was moved with compassion. As he saw this man, as he heard his words, Jesus knew how hopeless he was, how desperate this leper was. And Jesus knew the only way the leper could be restored to wholeness was through an act of God's power. And so Jesus, God in the flesh, he was moved with compassion. He reached out, and what did he do? He touched the leper. He spoke some simple words. He says, I will be cleansed. And with this touch of compassion, with this touch of love, with this simple word of authority, what happened? This leper, with the most terrible disease ever, this one who is hopeless and in a desperate situation, in just a second, or even less than that, with a simple touch and a command from Jesus, he was cleansed, he was made perfectly whole. Physically speaking, he was as good as ever. Now Jesus has more to say to the leper in verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And then we read in verses 43 and following, and he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for testimony unto them. Jesus had done amazing work. He had cleansed the leper of his leprosy. Now, if you are cleansed in that way, if you are healed by Jesus, what would you want to do? Immediately, you'd want to tell everybody, right? But what does Jesus tell the leper? Don't tell anybody of what has happened. Immediately go to the priest. Show him that you have been cleansed. Offer the sacrifice appointed by Moses for your cleansing. You need to be a testimony to those priests. Yes, Jesus had shown great compassion on the leper. Jesus had shown his great power and authority. But now Jesus continues to speak with authority. And Jesus told the leper some things that he needed to listen to. And he had words that needed to be obeyed. Yes, Jesus had cleansed the leper. What was the leper to do now? He was to go to the priest. Don't tell anyone what's happened. So don't tell your family, don't tell your friends, don't tell anybody else what has happened. Go immediately to the priest. Show him that you've been cleansed. Now as the leper, the cleansed man, went to the priest, was he able to tell the priest what had happened? Mark doesn't tell us what Jesus said there. Very possibly he would have said to the priest whenever he went to him, Well, I've been cleansed of my leprosy. This man Jesus cleansed me. But what we do know is that Jesus said, you need to offer the correct sacrifice for your ceremonial cleansing, a sacrifice that's talked about in Leviticus chapter 14. And if the leper obeyed, what happened? The priest would see how God had done a mighty work. The priest of all people would have realized only God can heal leprosy. And as the priest came to realize Jesus is the one who had done this cleansing, the priest would have known God is at work. Jesus is no ordinary person. Jesus is doing a work of God. Now we might ask ourselves, why would Jesus prohibit the man from telling anyone what had been done? You know, it almost seems wrong for us. Surely it seemed wrong to the leper to keep this miracle silent. But Jesus always knows what he's doing, right? Jesus always knows what is best. And the leper knew that to begin with, right? What did the leper do? If you will, please cleanse me. I know you're able to cleanse me, but if you will. But now that Jesus has cleansed the leper, and told him, go immediately to the priest. Don't tell anyone. How does the leper respond? The cleansed man now. Well, he doesn't obey what Jesus says, does he? As we think about why Jesus said what he did, I think we can find a good reason why he said what he did, and that in Jesus' day, there are many people that were expecting the arrival of the Messiah. For centuries upon centuries, they were waiting for the Messiah to arrive, but only for most of the people, the Messiah they were looking forward to was a political Messiah, a Messiah who would deliver them from their enemies. In the case of Jesus' time, they were looking for somebody to lead them out from under the oppression of Rome. They were looking for a political Messiah. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah, but he was not the Messiah the people were looking for. Why did Jesus get the command to keep silent? Jesus knew that as people heard about his great works that he had done, they would become excited. They would come and they would flock him. They would expect him to do more healings and do more miraculous deeds. And the people would be seeking more mighty acts to be done of Jesus. And perhaps they would even try to make him deliver them from the oppression of Rome. But as the people would flock to Jesus because they saw all these great works, what would they do? In essence, they would be hindering the main mission of Jesus, that is, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Now, Jesus had good reason for commanding as he did, because we read in verse 45 what happens as a result of the leper's disobedience, the cleansed man's disobedience. The leper did not listen to Jesus. He did not obey. He went out. He began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. A very sad commentary in verse 45. Jesus' plan was to go in the surrounding cities of Capernaum, the villages in the larger towns, and to go and proclaim the coming kingdom. But now that the leper has proclaimed what Jesus has done, could Jesus enter into those towns, in those cities? He couldn't. He couldn't enter openly into the cities. People were so excited. They were wanting to go to Jesus so that he could heal others. But the people were not interested in what Jesus had to say about the coming kingdom. They're just interested in what he could do, what he could do for them as far as healings or casting out demons or the wonderful miracles that he would do. So the leper was so irresponsible. He disobeyed what Jesus said. Because he refused to keep silent, now everybody was excited about what had happened, and Jesus could no longer go from synagogue to synagogue proclaiming the coming kingdom. He was forced to go out into the open country, and even there we have people thronging him. Now, was it important that Jesus healed? Was it important that he cast out demons? Yes, but that was not his main mission. These things were secondary in importance. It was most important that people would understand, that they would know the kingdom of God is at hand. You need to repent. You need to ready yourself for the kingdom. You need to get yourself right with God. Yes, it is amazing that Jesus has the power to cleanse lepers. He has the power to raise the dead to life. He has the power to cause the blind to see. We're astonished at that. But let us not get so enamored with what Jesus does by way of healing that we forget to pay attention to what Jesus says. Because Jesus has a message to proclaim. He did when he was on earth. He still is proclaiming a message even right now through God's word. Jesus came to this earth to proclaim the coming kingdom, to call people to repent from their sin and to ready themselves for that kingdom, to get right with God. That's what people needed to hear. But yet Jesus, as he healed, he had a reason for healing. As he cleansed the lepers, he had a reason for doing that. As he did these great works, the great works testified to the fact that Jesus had the authority to proclaim what he's proclaiming. It was evident before that, even before he did the great works, that Jesus had great authority. But now people could see Jesus doing these great works. Yes, the kingdom is coming, and people could realize, if only their eyes were open, that this is no ordinary messenger. This is indeed the King, the Messiah, the King of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist, a great prophet, the one who foretold and prepared the way for Jesus, he was wondering at one point in time whether Jesus was the coming one, whether he was the Messiah. And he sent messengers to ask, "Are you the one that we're looking for, or should we wait for another?" And we read this in Matthew 11, verses 2 through 6. "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, 'Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?' Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in me.'" How would John know that Jesus was the one? The fact that he did the healings, the fact that he raised the dead to life, he cleansed lepers, he preached the gospel to the poor, that's how people would know that Jesus is the one they were looking for. Jesus is the mighty Son of God. He is the Messiah. Today we stand in awe of Jesus. We stand in awe of the words that he spoke. We stand in awe of the miracles that he performed. We stand in awe of Jesus. He is the one who could cleanse the leper. He is the one that spoke. He acted with great compassion and authority. And this morning it's our desire to worship him. Like the leper, we want to humbly submit to him. Unlike the leper, we don't want to be disobeying Jesus like he did. We want to humbly submit to his will. We want to trust him wholeheartedly. We want to obey him without question. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Yes, Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom, but Jesus also came to give life, abundant life. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus is worthy of all of our worship and praise. We want to exalt and glorify him today. The question for you today is, do you know this Jesus of whom we read in the Gospel of Mark? This one who spoke with great authority, this one who healed the lepers and the blind and the lame, the one who raised the dead. Do you know this one who gave himself on the cross for the sins of the world? Do you know him? This promise of the scripture is clear. Whoever will believe on Jesus Christ will have eternal life. Their sins will be washed white as snow. As we read through the pages of the Gospel of Mark, yes, we stand in awe of who Jesus is. May God use this book of the Bible, this Gospel of Mark, to help us appreciate Jesus all the more, to pay attention to his words and not just his actions, to see how his actions really magnified the message that he proclaimed, to stand in awe of Jesus, the Savior who gave his life a ransom for many. Jesus, he is the one who is able to cleanse. He's able to cleanse physically, but as we look to the end of the gospel, we know that Jesus is the one who is able to cleanse spiritually as well, because Jesus died on the cross for sinners like you and I. We don't know whether the leper ever trusted in Jesus as Savior. His body had been healed. The question is, had his soul been healed? That was his most important need of all, to listen to the message of Jesus, to believe that, yes, God's kingdom is coming. We need to be ready for that kingdom. The leper needed to be right with God, and he needed to trust in Jesus. The cleansing power of Jesus. He heals bodies. He heals souls. Have you trusted in him today? Do you have that forgiveness of sins?